This is...
Wow!
What a week.
What a week. Politrix.
Yo, guys. Hi. Hi. Hello, everybody. Please do not be surprised. This is the first time I'm doing this. I am the producer, scriptwriter, cameraman, video what. I'm the host and the co-host. But nonetheless, one of the things I've done in life was never to succumb to peer pressure. But I've been pressurized so much that how come I've been silent regarding the move of Floyd from the EFF to Mkhonto we Sizwe. And actually the followers of hashtag Politrix on the Wow What a Week platform, you know, that segment that I do with Tato, DJ Fresh Sigwani, oh, they grilled at us. But I'll let Tato and the producers of the show respond to that. I decided to do this video for a number of reasons. All news are not news, but I also thought I owe it to a number of people who expected a comment, a view, an opinion from me. I actually must say I'm humbled and I appreciate the way a number of people in media houses have been asking me for my opinion. They just don't want to pay. But here is it. Let's go. Please, if the quality of the picture is damn good, give thumbs up to Huawei. I'm using a Huawei P50 Pro S phone to record this. If the quality of the sound is damn good, give thumbs up to, you know, microphone, sound systems, recording systems from Rode. If the quality of my makeup and everything else is good, give thumbs up to myself. Hashtag Botsa Botsa. But if anything is bad, look, I'm recording this from my home background. If you hear sounds of birds singing as well as dogs barking, it is not my dogs. My dogs are locked up for a better quality sound. Where do we start? Why did, I nearly said Fresh, Floyd leave the economic freedom fighters of the Republic of South Africa? Let me start by saying I've seen a lot of narratives. And I've written a few pieces and comments to that effect. And I've heard all narratives. I've heard gossip mongering, speculations, and shocked people. Almost everybody's shocked. Almost everybody says they were caught by surprise. It doesn't surprise me that Floyd would have left the EFF at some stage for one reason or the other. Whether it's academic, whether it's business, but the man is a political animal. He despite his academic credentials, he grew up in politics. So he will not divorce politics. But I said to people at the very beginning, and I must say this, when this news broke up a few days ago, I said to people, if anybody under the sun thinks Floyd Shivambu Nyeko, let me call him with his African name. If Nyeko left the economic freedom fighters and Julius Lomalema, the president or the leader, the commander in chief of the EFF, is not part of the move, then you are making a big mistake. When I say part of the move, I don't mean Julius dictated how, when and how should Floyd move. I'm saying he was involved, his hand is involved in that whole process. It is impossible, knowing personally the relationship of the two gentlemen, personal relationship, historical relationship, childhood friendship, political relationship, business relationship of the two gentlemen or two revolutionaries or politicians or activists, whatever you call them. I'm talking from a neutral point of view, so I can call them whatever I want on my platform. If you think it's a mistake, and if you think Julius was not part of that, you're making a big mistake. That's number one. Number two, the move of Floyd to controversy has the fingerprints of Ntate Jacob Gedleyihle Zuma all over. That is typical Jacob Zuma style. He doesn't hold grudges. he's very matured politically and a very humble person. For some of us who have been in contact with Uba Aba, has access to him, and we know his wisdom. You know, there's a number of things the old man had said to me, and one of them is what I'm doing now. You know, after ANN7 and through the late Medudu Mieni, Baba has put me to the side and said to me, you guys had a platform that I've created, and you were doing very well. And after the platform has been shut down and there's a bit expiry date, what did you do? What are you doing to can push a narrative to educate our people? So those are some of the things that made me to end up in podcasts and you know, resuscitated my activism as an analyst and as a person who is sharing information, especially that the mainstream media had, you know, developed a culture of misleading our people and misinforming them. But let's get to the story. Number one, I must dispel a narrative that Julius Loma Lema and Floyd Shivambu founded the EFF. And there's one episode that I recorded on One A Week platform, a hashtag politics a segment with Tato Sikwane, DJ Fresh, last year in May. And I break down in that episode. If you go to YouTube and check that episode under Wow What a Week, or you can go to my media pages, you will find it, where I explain how the EFF was founded. And I am not going to repeat it here. You can go and watch that episode. I break it down from when was it conceptualized, by whom, when were the first meetings. And that was long before Floyd Shivambu and Julius Malema and others were dismissed from the ANC by, ironically, Cyril Ramaphosa, who was the appeal chair of the disciplinary hearing of the disciplinary committee of the African National Congress. So go and check that, because I'm giving information. I must give credit where it's due, and I must tell the truth. Floyd and Julius, or Nico and Silla, they formed a formidable part of building, not founding, building the EFF, no doubt about it. When they were brought in by the team of EFF founders who were already on the ground, and let me mention, one of the EFF founders was Andile Mkama, Bolufuno Gogoro, and many others, maybe 5-10 people, but to some that's a few. Those are the people that founded the EFF and conceptualized it. Coincidentally, by the time they were looking for somebody to can lead the EFF, that's when the appeal of Julius Malema and Floyd Shivambu were dismissed by, ironically, Cyril Ramaphosa as the, you know, appeal chairperson of the disciplinary committee of the ANC. And then they were available to can lead the EFF because it didn't have structures, it didn't have leadership. So it doesn't come to me as a surprise that Floyd is being seen as a person who can assist Umkhonto we Sizwe party to can establish itself formally, in other words, development of policies, development and establishment of structures, writing the constitution. But the constitution is much more of a legal thing, which I don't think is Floyd's strong point. But put that man in a research criteria, and I think he will suit best in, how can I put it, looking at how other formations and organizations were historically founded politically, whether it's China, whether it's Russia, whether it's in the US or in Africa, to arrive where they are today. You can look at how the likes of Mulamwi Julius Nyerere founded the liberation movement in Tanzania, Robert Sobukwe in South Africa, Thomas Sankara becoming as a rebel, and many other Africanist leaders. There's a format and methodologies that were used, and I think Floyd is positioned well to do that. I will get into the story, whether it is a genuine move or not, or strategic move or not, or a false move or not, or a career move or not. We'll come into that. I'm just talking about the capabilities of Floyd, the person that in founding the EFF I have come across to work with him, and the kind of person he is, and also his capabilities. I'm not saying I'm an expert in knowing or I know Floyd beyond the political spectrum. No. Okay, one of the things that I had found him to be is very humble as well. He's a He's a humble person outside the politics and money, the love of finer things in life, like good wine, cars, clothes, and money. As a person, he's a very humble person. Nonetheless, if I vividly recall, one of the things that made me say such things with Floyd is in 2013 going to 2014, after the launch and the formation of the EFF, one of the things that I vividly recall is Floyd and the then chairperson of the EFF, Advocate Dalimpofu, conceptualized a thing of forming, what do they call that thing, the professional wing of the economic freedom fighters, and in forming the professional wing, actually at that time we said we are not going to talk about the student wing, we're not going to talk about the youth, because the EFF was dominated by youth. We're not going to talk about affiliation to unions, when there were rumors that we may go with AMCU and other women's league and whatever. So Floyd and Advocate Mpofu came with a concept to say, let us form a professional wing. I vividly recall how we ran around and organized a seminar at a hotel somewhere in Midland, where the EFF called on all professionals who were, one, members of the EFF, two, professionals within the EFF. And one thing that was beautiful that I picked up from Floyd is when people wanted to segment and say we need engineers and doctors and lawyers and diplomats and people with titles, that said, no, why are you thinking that teachers and policemen are not professionals in their work? And that for me, it was my direct first encounter with the man. And that for me means a lot. It means he understood the groundwork and the ground level of politics. And then we had everybody in one room. Unfortunately, the professional wing of the EFF did not fly. And there's two reasons why it did not fly. Some people in the EFF, they saw it as a threat. And some opportunists who came from outside the EFF, who needed a political home because they felt neglected and isolated by the ruling African National Congress, they wanted to come and dominate. And Julius didn't take kind of that. And that professional forum of the EFF collapsed. But I also heard, and these are unconfirmed rumors, and I don't want this thing to be rumors, that Julius felt intimidated by so many professionals coming to the EFF. Some they were even coming with money. So you can see the caliber of a person Fred Shivambu was. But getting back to the topic at hand, I've already said it didn't come as a surprise. And last week in one of the pieces I wrote, I said to the people, I do not know why are people surprised by the development of the current events when there are a number of things that has happened. The EFF, COPE, and other organizations are said to be breakaways from the ANC. In the modern day post, you know, apartheid South Africa, COPE and the UDM, United Democratic Movement of General Bantu Holomisa, and then the EFF, they are breakaways from the ANC. And all these things happened, if you recall, because of Jacob Zuma. When President Zuma took over the ANC leadership from President Mbeki at the, you know, fiercely contested Polokwane conference of the ANC in 2007, then COPE was born. We should recall that. But before even that, when the former New National Party, the Apartheid National Party, was swallowed into the ANC, and General Holomisa fell out of favor with ANC leaders because of his very principled militant position, him and Rolf Meyer, who was the leader of the New National Party, went and formed, what do they call it? And it was under Mandela's time, as a matter of fact. They went and they formed the UDM. Some of us, you can point fingers that at that time, Jacob Zuma was highly involved in the ANC leadership, but he was concentrating on building structures in KwaZulu-Natal. I always say to people, if Zuma was not busy with dealing with the KwaZulu-Natal issues, when Bantu Holomisa formed the UDM, I think Zuma would have convinced Bantu Holomisa to stay in the ANC. But nonetheless, it's not about Zuma and the UDM. Then comes the Economic Freedom Fighters that gets founded under the leadership of Jacob Zuma and the ANC, and Julius and Floyd and others gets charged and dismissed. Others capitulated and stayed, and they get dismissed from the ANC under the presidency of Jacob Zuma because of their conduct, but not by Jacob Zuma, but by Cyril Ramaphosa. And it was a misconduct charge. Whether they were wrong or right is a story for another day. I still think they had an element of ill discipline, but what they were fighting for and demanding in the African National Congress was justified. They were militant, they were rebels, they were revolutionaries, and they wanted the organization to push what it was formed for. So then they go and they form the EFF. And it surprised people. The EFF is 11 years old. In the 13 months of its existence, it goes and gets over 10% of national elections in the Republic of South Africa under the leadership of Cyril Malema, as well as Floyd Shivambu, and many others. You know, the likes of Andile were still there. The likes of Kenny Kunene, unfortunately, left before the EFF can go into elections. But there were many other people. Mpo Ramakatsa was still there, if we recall, you know, a former controversy, a guerrilla, and many others. But then the EFF consisted of people from the Black Consciousness Movement, as well as the Pan-Africanist, you know, sectors of South African politics. It had in under one roof what used to be called the children of Tambo, Sobukwe, and Biko, have gathered under one roof. And I think it gave the EFF a momentum that South African politics needed. And you could see the brains of Floyd Shivambu coming up. But his brotherhood, his work relationship, his personal relationship with Julius Malema aided the EFF at that time. There is no doubt in me. I can tell you, not only because I was involved in establishing the primary structures of the EFF. And people are surprised that Floyd, how can he leave a deputy president position of the EFF, which created a platform for him to can be propelled and to can rise to be the president, and go and join an organization without a constitution, without a manifesto, without policies. And that is also clouded by a number of people with, you know, what the white media say, questionable backgrounds. I don't know questionable for who, but also it is clustered. If you look at the leadership of the controversies, it is also clustered by a number of highly qualified, highly experienced, highly decorated professionals in their field. And people are asking, why would Floyd subject himself to that? That's one rumor and question. Another question is he being eyeing for a position to be the deputy president of Jacob Zuma or the deputy or take a leadership of the controversies? I doubt that will happen. I don't think Floyd will become the president of controversies at this moment. I don't think it will be a wise move from controversies. The organization is still on fragile stages, and to propel people who were not there when people took bullets, people sacrificed their monies, their careers, by associating themselves with Jacob Zuma, by associating themselves with controversies, I do not think they will take it kind, and it may wreck the controversies. So what I'm saying to controversies is they must be very careful in how they are going to manage this whole process of Floyd Shivambu joining the organization. And I don't think Floyd is that stupid that he will just leave a prime position in the EFF and be propelled or aiming to be propelled. I don't think he knows how to work the ground. He knows what to do. He's a strategist. And I think if he uses that strategy and that knowledge wisely, he may come up being a better person as a leader in the countries, but not now. I don't think it's going to happen now. Of course, he will be in a prime position. Of course, he'll be in a strategic position. But also, who said being in a strategic position, one has to be in parliament or in the top five or top six or top seven of the organization? There are many positions in an organization. If the organization has the money to can compensate people like researchers, policy developers, those who formulate policies, or even international relations experts. One of the things that happens in the political cycles and political parties, especially the opposition, when diplomats, I'm just using diplomats, you know, not because I've got passion for it. When diplomats get deployed abroad, the ruling party, okay, we don't have a ruling party at the moment. We've got the government of national unity in inverted commas. We've got a multi-party government, about 6-7 parties that are sitting there. In deploying diplomats, normally, the government will even appoint diplomats from, what do you call it, from opposition parties or members of the society who are not in politics. Those are some of the opportunities that are sitting there. But I think the move of Floyd to controversies, where that many says they are shocked, and I will get back to why I'm not shocked, it is to strengthen the grassroots support as well as the policy formulation of controversies. That's one element. The second element is, we'll recall, guys, and I don't know why, which organization or political party was the first to go and have tea with Jacob Zuma after Jacob Zuma was jailed by Cyril Ramaphosa as well as Justice Zondo? By the way, I must state and take note that President Thabo Mbeki had said on record that he had told Ramaphosa not to send Zuma to jail. And Ramaphosa did not want to listen. Now you must ask yourself, if we have an independent judiciary, an independent judicial system in the country, why would a retired president tell a sitting president not to jail a former president as well? Just ask yourself that question. But nonetheless, it was the EFF leaders, Fred Sibambo, Dali Mpofu, and Julius Malema, as well as others like Mente and Marshall, who's from KZN, and Marshall is the current Secretary General of the EFF. It was them who drove or who flew to KZN and drove to Nganta to meet President Zuma and had tea with President Zuma, long because it was fashionable. I must acknowledge that the leader of the BLF, the Black First Land First, Andile Mqhitama, who happens to be one of the founders of the EFF and one of the first MPs of the EFF and one of the first people to rise and confront and challenge the conduct and the behavior, political behavior of Julius Malema, was Andile Mqhitama. Now, before this drinking tea with Zuma happens, the BLF led by Andile Mqhitama with the Treasurer General and other leaders of the BLF were the first to can have several number of tea meetings with President Zuma. And that's why the BLF, and I'm telling you the step by step, that's why I'm mentioning this, that's why the BLF was the first organization to rise after having several teas with Jacob Zuma to say they are not going to contest the 2024 general elections. Instead of splitting the Black African vote, the Africanist vote, they would rather go hand in hand and work with controversies. If you recall, the BLF issued a statement end of January, beginning of February 2024. But then Julius started having tea and talking positive about Jacob Zuma. That's one element, and I don't know why people are undermining that. The second element is, in the middle of, you know, EFF doing bad in elections and MK really destroying the ANC, what happens is some of Zuma's hardcore supporters, one of them, Mzwane Lemani, and somebody that I regard as Zuma's most trustworthy lieutenant, Ambassador Karl Niehaus, they go and they join the EFF. Look at the strategic move, guys. They go and they join the EFF, BLEFF, and they get deployed to Parliament as EFF MPs. Now, we all know that those are the hardcore supporters and personal children of Jacob Zuma. If not personal friends, but they're children because he's an old man. And nobody questioned. They saw it as career opportunism. People started saying Zuma is infiltrating the EFF to break it down. Are we surprised today? That's the second element. The third element is Mzwane Lemanyi continued to be the spokesperson of the Jacob Zuma Foundation while he was an EFF member and member of parliament. Keep that aside and note it. He continued, he never stopped. Karl Niehaus, the ambassador, has been a friend of Jacob Zuma since Robben Island. They shared a cell in Robben Island and they are inseparable. The EFF former chairperson, Advocate Dali Mpofu, has continuously and consistently been the legal representative, protector, and supporter of Jacob Zuma. He will represent Jacob Zuma in almost every case after Jacob Zuma has left government. He represented the Jacob Zuma Foundation. He has been behind Jacob Zuma, legal challenges like nobody else. And he happens to be the leader of the EFF. He remains the leader of the EFF, even if he's no longer the chairperson, because he didn't want to take committed positions because of workload, and he wanted to create a platform and a room for others because the EFF had established itself well. Now tell me, if you have people like, and people in the EFF, like Julius Malema, Floyd Shivambu, and other top 5-6 members having tea on a regular basis with Jacob Zuma, talking high in the media about Jacob Zuma, talking about how they made a mistake by howling at Jacob Zuma. They don't regret and apologize for howling. They said it was political, but there's no permanent enemies in politics. Then you come and you have the likes of Zwanele Mangi and as well as Ambassador Carl Mpangazi Tiny House to be in the leadership, not only of the organization, the EFF, but also on the deployment into parliament. Then you've got the most senior advocate in the political spectrum, who's the former chairperson of the EFF, being the legal representative of Jacob Zuma. So I would say the creme de la creme of the EFF leadership had a close working relationship with Jacob Zuma after he has left office. And are you surprised why Floyd moved there? Now let's go back to why Jacob Zuma formed number one Umkhonto we Sizwe around February, March 2024. No, 2023. 2023. Let's go back to that. Of course, he announced that he is going to campaign and vote with the Umkhonto we Sizwe on the 16th of December 2023. And by the way, for those who didn't know, the 16th of December is the date Umkhonto we Sizwe, the military wing of the African National Congress, was founded. I think it was in 1963. Yeah, I think so. So Zuma strategically used the same date to found the Umkhonto we Sizwe party. That's one. Two, February to December, it's almost 10 months. Or if it's March to December, it's 9 months of 2023 that Jacob Zuma had deployed people on the ground to formalize the interim structures of the Umkhonto we Sizwe. And it worked. In less than 6 months, the party clinched the number of national votes more than what the EFF did in 2013, which the EFF had 13 months at that time. So in less than 6 months. June, when Jacob Zuma formed Umkhonto we Sizwe, he said he is doing it in order to fix the ANC that has lost the plot, that is no longer advancing the struggle of the African people, that the ANC needs to be corrected. And he mentioned it to say it's the ANC of Cyril Ramaphosa. So those are the old men of the ANC fighting. What Jacob Zuma was saying was actually exactly what the EFF was saying in 2013 when it was formed. That's exactly the same language. And guess who was behind the manifesto of the founding of the EFF in 2013? That's Anile Mutama and members of the September National Mbizo. Go and do your homework and check who are those. They were behind the founding manifesto of the EFF in 2013, particularly the part of the manifesto that talks about black consciousness, self-reliance, and the land question, the question of the repossession of the stolen land formed the heartbeat of the founding of the EFF. Then you move and start checking what language did Jacob Zuma in his last days in the office, as well as during the formation of Umkhonto we Sizwe, the entire 2023, and the announcement of why Umkhonto we Sizwe, he brought back the land question. And guess who was the closest person to Jacob Zuma since 2022, actually? It's Andile Mutama. Andile has been working with President Zuma for the entire 2023. And the land question found itself into the hearts of the people who were saying Umkhonto we Sizwe, the military was formed for what? For Mayibuye. What is Mayibuye? Let it come back. What must come back? the Africa, the land, the return of the land to the African people. So this whole thing is not a coincidence. It was well planned, it was well manifested, and people thought Andile will never work with the EFF people. But if Jacob Zuma was there to can bring back all these kids and these forces together, especially and other professionals who were in government parastatals and out, why wouldn't he do that? What's wrong? I wrote a piece when President Zuma called for a united front of the African forces and the left forces. And I said, when you look at the Pan-Africanist Manifesto, one of the five cardinal pillars or founding principles of the PAC, that's why they've got the open hand salute of Israel to Africa. The very first one, it actually says, rally and unite the African people under the banner of Pan-Africanism. That is what the PAC stands for. That's the first thing. There's many others, but let's focus on that. And I said, what's wrong with Jacob Zuma rallying? Rally means go engage others and unite them under the banner of African nationalism or Pan-Africanism or Black consciousness or whatever. And that's what Zuma did. He rallied the people, young, old, professionals, disgruntled, angry, and all that under the banner of African nationalism, which is going to focus on fighting for the return of the land to the African people, the marginalized, the separated, and all that. And Zuma has always believed in that, whether you like him or not. He has always believed in that he was just in the wrong party. I once said to Ubaba, Mr. President, you overstayed in the ANC, and that's where your problem is. You could not change the ANC from inside. And this was in Santin with his son. He was just talking to the nation for the first time after his jailing in 2020. I think it was in 2022. And I said to him, Baba, you overstayed. And I think you can't do what you want to do whilst you are in the ANC. You know, we're sitting in a holding room there. I said, you can't do what you want to do whilst you are in the ANC. I personally said that to President Zuma. Anyway, I thought this old man doesn't listen. He's an octogenarian. He's 8 years old. We had just celebrated his 8 year old because, yes, it was in 2022 and his birthday is in April. So I just thought, and I never thought the man will move with that. Nonetheless, fast forward coming to where we are now. Why do we think that Jacob Zuma will not go and recruit, especially Floyd Shivambu, especially when he's got people who have good working relationship with personal relationship with Floyd Shivambu, like Advocate Dalimpofu? When you have a person like a Justice Dr. Hlophe, who holds Floyd Shivambu very high. Guys, I'm telling you, you must watch how Andile Mngxama, as a policy developer, Floyd Shivambu being led and guided and working hand in hand with Justice Dr. Hlophe is going to do for the MK. So there's a long-term plan with this thing. It's not only about electioneering. No, and I want to agree with Julius about something. There's going to be an exodus of people, not only from the EFF. Julius said from the EFF, some will follow. And that statement could have said a lot to people. Why would Julius say some will follow? And that's why I'm saying, if you think Julius does not know what's going on, then you don't know politics, especially South African politics. He said there'll be an exodus of people. I'm saying there'll be an exodus of people who have been spies, who have been hiding, who have been sitting in all political parties in South Africa. Trust me, in all political parties in South Africa, not only from the African National Congress. Some are sitting in parliament. Some are sitting in top echelon positions of the ANC. And you will be surprised that there are people from the Democratic Alliance who will leave the Democratic Alliance to join Mkhonto we Sizwe. Of course, Black people. And we should not shy to talk about Black African people, that they're consolidating. What's wrong with Africans when they consolidate? And this is the pivotal role that young, educated, smart, intelligent people like Andile Mngxama and Floyd Shivambu and Brian Molefe and Luther Libelo and many others that are behind the scenes, that are working very hard to build Mkhonto we Sizwe, to be a formidable force. And I have no doubt that if people think Mkhonto we Sizwe will die a natural death, like COPE and others and the EFF, then they are wrong. Then they don't know that politics evolve. Politics are dynamic, but they also evolve. Let's leave it there and go to the second element. Is this the plot of Julius Malema and Floyd Shivambu going to destabilize the controversies, I'm telling you, they are not that stupid. Those two are not. They know that controversies is not just Jacob Zuma. There's quite a number of people that are involved there, and they know what they are doing. So I don't think Julius and Floyd are stupid that they can deploy Floyd into controversy to destabilize it now. Is this the end of the EFF? I don't think so. I think the EFF will suffer a lot with the departure of Floyd, but I don't think it's the end. I think it's a very well-calculated strategic move from Floyd as an individual, as a person, and maybe even the EFF to let him go. I mean, if you recall, guys, what happened in the media conference. By the way, if you go and check my tweets and Facebook status, as well as particularly my WhatsApp group, I mentioned that morning before 8, around 7:40, when they said the press conference and people were asking around. I mentioned in various groups to say, I don't know what's going on, but one thing that I'm sure of is that Floyd Shivambu is resigning from the EFF, because I had learned the night before that he's resigning as member of parliament of the EFF, and actually I said he's resigning as an MP and a leader of the EFF. But let's go back and look at the press conference. At the press conference, people are saying Julius was shaken, Julius does not look good, Julius has not been looking good and stressed since the elections. I mean, the man is human. He expected to be the second party, you know, after the ANC, and a very close or increase the margin. I, Botswang Modimo wa Memuilwa, had said in March, the first in January, secondly in March 2024, before the elections, I said the EFF has reached its ceiling, not because it's a bad organization, not because they didn't do well, and not because they don't know politics, but because they've reached the ceiling, they've reached a cul-de-sac. It was not going to grow anywhere more. I actually predicted in January to say the EFF, if it goes up, it will be 1%, but I doubt. In March, I was very sure to say it will not go beyond the percentage they got the last time. Baba, they lost. So Julius, that will stress Julius, of course. That will make him angry. And then we come to the third element where people are saying there was betrayal in the media, and Floyd was not happy with the way Julius ran a parallel engagement with the ANC. That could have well happened. And those who don't know Julius, that's how he operates. And is it bad? I don't think so. Is it wrong? For who? Maybe he may have done Floyd wrong by running a parallel. But why would Floyd be surprised that Julius go against the line and go and engage Cyril Ramaphosa, the President of the Republic, to negotiate positions while Floyd is negotiating with the ANC negotiations team on forming a government? Why is Floyd surprised? Because that's how his friend, his comrade, his brother has been operating all along, even from their youth league days. So I don't think that's the main reason Floyd left. I think it was the engagement with Jacob Zuma. I think it's a grand plan. And I think after they have realized that the EFF has reached its ceiling, they decided instead of letting, you know, this thing slip through their fingers and the organization be destroyed, I think they've decided to say, look, it will not harm us to work with the other forces, you know, progressive forces. And therefore, Floyd can go. But also when Floyd sits on an EFF media platform and says, I am not going to talk about me moving to MK on the platform of the EFF. You know, I laughed and I said, look at these young ones. They think we are all fools. He already announced on the EFF platform that he is going to MK. So why don't we even talk? But let's assume he really respected them. Anyway, guys, I think at the moment, I don't think it's a career move. I think it's a risky position. If Floyd is chasing a career in politics, I don't think this was the right move, because I don't think he will rise above many in the Umkhonto-we-Sizwe party at the moment, despite the fact that Umkhonto-we-Sizwe has no formal structures. Everything is interim. Floyd will get a position if he goes to contest elections, but I don't see him becoming a leader, a president, or a deputy of Umkhonto-we-Sizwe at the moment, not even a secretary general. Maybe maybe a national person or a strategic one, because Jacob Zuma, as I've long said and I've told people, he is the leader of the controversies strategically. Zuma is not interested in being in parliament or in politics. He is grooming and preparing a force that will take over the debating. And he has identified the likes of Floyd, especially that his brain and he's not emotional to can take the baiting. So that's basically what is happening. I don't think it's the end of the man's political career. I don't think it's the end of the EFF. It will fade off with time. But the EFF stands a good chance to rebuild itself. Unfortunately, the move of Floyd to controversies is going to go with a number of ground forces in the EFF. And during the local elections, if they will not be contesting as a united front or what, in 2026, the controversies will do very well in KwaZulu-Natal and the country. And some of the former strongholds, especially in Limpopo, of the EFF, they will definitely do well. So this is a long-term plan. This is a long-term plan towards 2029 general elections. And this is a preparation of a strategy and a position in case the government of national unity collapses. I'm one of the people who still think the government of national unity without that policy position and direction will collapse, especially that it is only the ANC that believes that this thing is a government of national unity, is not a coalition. The DA says it is a coalition, and everybody else says it's a coalition of ANC and the Democratic Alliance supported by some minority parties. Once this collapses, it will open a room to engage further, especially if we look at what happened in the Gauteng province, where the ANC leadership in Gauteng province, which is well strong behind the Deputy President Paul Mashatile, as well as in the city of Johannesburg as recent as last week, they have actually went outside the government of national unity arrangement. If you look at it, they may call it whatever they want to call it, but the ANC as well as, ANC in Gauteng and in Johannesburg, there's no DA in them governing Gauteng and Johannesburg. So we can see that Gauteng is drawing another line, and the MK is going to take advantage of that, and the EFF is just on the side. When the Premier of Gauteng and the leader of ANC in Gauteng, Ntate Hendrik Panyaza Lusufi, said the departure of Floyd Sivambo from the EFF to controversies, has actually costed the engagements and the negotiations towards the government of provincial unity or government of local unity. He is right. Panyaza Lusufi is right. It is going to impact on that. Guys, I don't know how long I've been here. I'm going to talk to Tato Sikwani DJ Fresh about this. I'm going to share this with him. I hope the audio was clear. And as I've said, don't think this was in the studio. It's my personal opinion. And I think, in conclusion, great move by Floyd Nyiko Shivambu. The man knows what he's doing. And I think the country needs such movements. There's no permanent friends and there's no permanent enemies in politics. #BotsaBotsang.